Anyway, so we're just so thankful to have Abraham here. I'm going to let him open in prayer as he gives us a message. But he, you know, and for those of you that have weren't here last Wednesday, yeah, you missed his testimony, which is on our website. And so this is what was last Wednesday, October 1, 20. Anyway, for anybody that's listening, just go on Abraham Singba on our website on a search, and you're going to get his testimony of an hour and a half of all that has happened to Abraham's life since he was 15 years old and was leaving his hometown and his family to go get a biblical education. He has equipped himself in the Bible, as you're going to see tonight. And I asked him just a few hours ago to, he's on the hook for Wednesday night service doing Jeremiah chapter 42. I think you're a little nervous, are you?
No.
So anyway, I'm going to let him pray to start the service. And so God bless you, Abraham, and we're so excited you're here because he's leaving on Saturday. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Kelvin. Well, it's good to be here. Good evening. I want to thank the family for such a beautiful songs. Some of the songs are pretty new to me. I'm trying to, you know, sing through it. But, well, it's good to be here this evening. And before we start, I would like you to please open your Bible quickly to Jeremiah chapter 42. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 42. We're going to try to read the entire chapter. And Pastor Kevin told me you're going to be teaching tonight. I said, okay, so you can do chapter 42. So it is a blessing. And I want to thank you, Pastor Kevin, for the opportunity. First, thank the Lord Jesus. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to go through the Word of God, to God's people. Before we go through the Word of God, can we please pray? Gracious God, we want to thank you, Lord, this evening for who you are, Jesus Christ. Lord, you are great. You are so great, Lord, and your ways are so high and greater than we can ever imagine. We thank you for the free gift of life and salvation you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, as your word said, Father God, faith come by hearing and by hearing by the words of God. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you please take control and total, Lord, preeminence over the rest of the time, Lord, we have here. I pray, Lord, that you just speak through me. You increase that I may decrease, Lord. I pray you speak to your people through your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So Pastor Kevin told me that you guys are being, you guys been going through Isaiah, Jeremiah already, and he completed the chapter 41. And so I hope that the Lord be glorified. And with that, I am going to read from the verse 1 to the verse 22. Okay, let us read. Jeremiah 42. Now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaniah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all the remnants, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk, and the things which we should do. Verse 4, then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard thee, indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall be that whatsoever the Lord answer you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. Verse 5, so they said to Jeremiah, Let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sent us by you, whether it be pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom We send you that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Verse 7, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Verse 8, then he called Johanan the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you still remain in the land, then I will build you up and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disasters that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Verse 12, and I will show you mercy, and he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnants of Judea. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your face to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there, and in the land of Egypt the famines of which you were afraid shall follow close after you dead in Egypt, and there you shall die. Verse 17. So shall it be with you all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger, my fury, have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And you shall be on oath in an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, a remnant of Judea, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you were hypocrite in your heart when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. Verse 21, and I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, or anything which he has sent you by me. 22, now therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go dwell. Amen. So we see here at Jeremiah, you know, each time I read through the book of Jeremiah, it's always interesting. Pastor Kevin and I were having this conversation. So we see the prophet Jeremiah, he spent decades, 40 years, telling the children of Israel, judgment is coming. He's warning them. I think Pastor Kevin already going over that. He's warning them. He's telling them that judgment is coming. If you do not turn away from worshiping false gods, you know, being disobedient to God, the judgment of the Lord is coming. So in Isaiah, Pastor Kevin, I'll just go over to 41 quick. We see from the chapter 41 where we see Gedaliah. Gedaliah was a leader, a governor there, King Nebuchadnezzar, when he took over Israel, over Judea, he left him in charge to be the governor there to oversee everything and make sure that Everything is in place. But what happened, we see he was later assassinated by Ishmael. Ishmael was one of the royal hero of the royal, the Israelite royal family. And he went on, he took 10 men, and they went to Mizpah, and they went and killed Gadoniah. And so he did not just stop there. He went even further, killing most of the Jews. There were 80 men that went to the temple after King Nebuchadnezzar came and took over Judea. He destroyed a lot of things, the temple and all of that. So they went to pray, these 80 men, including the daughters of the kings of Judea. And then he went and killed most of his own Jewish people, Ishmael. And what happened is that after that, Johanan, which was also a military leader, he heard of this. He had previously warned Gadoniah that you are going to be assassinated. You will be killed. There is a plot against you. And Ishmael, he went on and said what they call, he had like an agreement with the king of the Amorites. And so what happened is that after he went on with this assassination, the entire nation of the remnant that left in Judea, they were concerned. So Johanna and all of military of guys, they went on, they said, well, they got rid of him, but then he escaped to the Amorite nation. And so what happened is that they were concerned in the chapter 41. They said, well, if King Nebuchadnezzar hear what has happened, he is going to definitely come and take siege over us again. And so they now, with all of this happening, they are afraid. They are very scared because they don't have much military strength. They don't have much manpower to fight against the King Nebuchadnezzar if he comes back. So what happened? They went to seek the Lord. They went to the prophet Jeremiah. But the funny thing here is Jeremiah been warning them long time ago. So if you do not depart from your evil ways, if you do not depart from whatever you're doing, that which is against God's law, you are going to be taken into captivity. And we see that and that was between 605 BC. When King Nebuchadnezzar came. So in the verse chapter 42, we see that transpiring. In the very verse 1, we see this. He said, all the captains of the forces, of Johanan and the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaniah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah in the verse 2, the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all the remnants, since we are but few, a few of many, as you see. They came seeking the Lord. Now they came, they asked Jeremiah, okay, with everything going on, with Gadoniah being assassinated, being killed by Ishmael, they were afraid to say, okay, we need to go and seek the Lord in this matter. But as we will see later on, in the few verse 1 and 2, we see they came like they are humble. They came in a pretendful, humble kind of way. Pastor Kevin and I, we had a conversation, I think, yesterday. Sometimes as Christians, even we as people, especially the Christians, would be like, a person can be like, you do something, like for example, okay, I've done this much, and the Bible says that let another man praise you, not yourself. But even within our humble state, sometimes we allow pride get in the way. And everything we do as Christians, God looks at our heart. He knows exactly where our heart lies. So if you read throughout the Bible, you see God, even the prophet Isaiah, he said in Ezekiel, he said, these people come near to me with their mouth, with their lips, but their heart are far from me. So that's what we see in the first two verses of the chapter 42. They came, all we need, we beg you, our Jeremiah, even though Jeremiah been telling them, if you do not depart from your evil ways, God is going to bring judgment upon you. The judgment came. And now, what happened, King Nebuchadnezzar, he did not take everybody. He left few of them. And so he took some and then left few. And they that left behind with this Gadaniah guy who was the leader over them are put there by King Nebuchadnezzar. Ishmael got rid of him, killed him. So they are afraid. They came and said, well, we need you to seek the Lord for us. We need you to please go to the Lord and tell and talk to him for us. And in the verse 3, this is what they said, that the Lord your God, I want you to look at that word. Instead of them saying the Lord our God, they said the Lord your God. And they went on to say that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the things we should do. So they've already failed before even beginning, you know, in pretend as though they have come to God to really seek after him, to seek his guidance. They excluded themselves from being God's children. And they said, your God. And when I was reading that, it kind of touched me, because if as Christians, now I do like this, how does this apply to me as a person? How does it apply to me? Does it reflect my heart? Because in everything we do, Jesus said, whatever goes into a man doesn't defy him, but that which comes out of the abundance of a man's heart, so he must speak. And so they are saying, hey, we need you to talk to the Lord. We are very much in need of the Lord right now. But then they said, the Lord your God. I'm sure Jeremiah, when he heard that, he was like, huh, okay. You've already rejected him. Because even in the state of pretendful submission, see, the state of rejection of God. And sometimes, when we feel like we know more, when we feel like, and I always use the word, this word, as Christians, we should never feel like I have arrived. It's a constant lifestyle, you know, the Bible, we got, from the moment of salvation, the imputation of Jesus' righteousness, of Jesus' righteousness have been imputed into our lives, into us. And not because we are good, but because God is good, because of Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, we live on this earth. A brother asked me, he said, Abraham, why didn't God, you know, from the moment of salvation, why didn't God just rapture us all, you know? Said, well, there is a reason he left us on this earth. And that is to be witness to the world. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we, as children of God, as we see with the children of Israel here, they are seeking God. But we see a self-defeat already because they rejected God even in their state of appeal. In verse 4, then the Bible said, then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard, indeed I will pray to the Lord your God. This is the interesting part. He said, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall be that whatsoever the Lord answer you, I will declare it to you. They said, okay, Jeremiah, the Lord, your God. And Jeremiah switched out around. He said, okay, the Lord, your God, he is also your God. And if you look in there, he says that which you have given, whatever the Lord answer you. Jeremiah wasn't saying, because Jeremiah knew that either way, their heart wasn't in the right place. So it wasn't full dependence on what Jeremiah, because sometimes what I take from this, and I like that Jeremiah, the Lord used him to use this very word. Sometimes we tend to look at people more than we do God. I've seen that in ministry, especially Africa, like where people look at the preacher, people look at those that God has put, you know, in the ministry to teach and preach, look up to them more than they do God. And so Jeremiah is telling them, whatever the Lord answer you, I will declare it to you, and I will keep nothing back from you. And it's very important, because with everything going on, they came in fear. The thing of it is that whenever we operate in fear, fear and faith, I meant to use this, fear and faith, is they cannot really coexist. I did talk to my friend, Brother Jonathan. He said, Abraham, I have faith in God, but I said, you cannot, in my heart, I said, well, the Bible says faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things not seen. If you have faith in God, if you believe in God for something, that shouldn't be a conjunction. I have faith in God, but the moment you say but, you already defeat the purpose of faith. And so they came to God not in faith, but in fear. When a person operates in fear, the influence of faith is very less at that point of whatever it is. Now, there are times where people have faith and trust the Lord, but we see here Jeremiah saying, well, I'm not going to keep that away from you, whatever God says. And so he went on to say here in the verse 5, he say, so they said to Jeremiah, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. And if we do not do a calling to everything which the Lord your God sent us by you. Verse 6, whatever it is pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send you, and that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Obedience. And it's interesting, they said, whatever God's answer is, whatever God says to you, and that you bring to us, that we will do. And it reminds me of many times in the Bible that we see continuously where God would deliver Israel. And one meaning, they are worshiping and serving God. But the moment everything seems good, they turn their back on God. But how often do we do that? It's a question. How often do I do that as a person? You know, when I becomes, I think it's Job, he said, I was at ease, and then the devil came rocking at my door. When we feel so comfortable, because we live in a society that we want a life of comfort. We want a life that is easygoing. But I like Jesus' words to his disciples. He told them, he said, you know, whatever they did to me, they're going to do to you. As believers, as we see the children of Israel here, they are in a situation where they cannot deliver themselves. They were in a situation where they needed to fully depend on God. But instead of, you know, that, as we will see later, they came in a pasture, not a complete, total trust in God, but partially. And sometimes as Christians, and I speak this to myself, like sometimes I pray, God, let your will be done. But deep down, I want it to be what I think I really want. Say, Lord, please, I'm praying for this, let your will be done. But if you just do it this way, and it doesn't work like that. And that's what we see in Israel. They came to Jeremiah to ask of the Lord his guidance and his protection. And they started off fine. They started off very beautifully. But Jeremiah knew how they'd been in the past. And so he did what they say they requested of him. Because in as much they came to Jeremiah, they used the name of the Lord. And Jeremiah said, you know what? I will go to the Lord in prayer for you. I will intercede for you. And in as much their heart wasn't in the right place, Jeremiah had to do, he did that which He saw right by the Lord. Instead of just looking at what they're saying, he went on. Of course, he did it. But his obedience wasn't to them. His obedience was rather to God. And so we see that he went on. They said, whatever. He said, they said, whether it be pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord, our God. Now they are taking that, our God, whom we send you that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord, our God. When? They use the word when, not if. But their attitude was a if attitude. It wasn't a when attitude. Their heart, in other words. So Jeremiah, they say, whatever, even if it is pleasing or displeasing, we will listen and we will obey. Sometimes, as believers, we might find moments in our lives where things might not be just easy, might be difficult. But the question is, when I come to God in prayer, what is the state of my heart? What is my motive? I normally ask this question when I go to church. Why am I going to church? When I, come to fellowship with the brethren, so why am I doing it? Because behind everything we do, there is a motive. There is a reason behind whatever we do. Or maybe that should be the case as human beings. But if our motives, if our heart are not set right, it doesn't end well, especially as believers. I got a Friday meeting prayer group. Pastor Kevin knows about it. We normally meet Fridays to pray. And about a month ago, one of the guys asked me, say, Abraham, you know, when I pray to the Lord, I ask him of things that I want. But sometimes I see God giving me things I don't want. I said, but what do you mean? He said, well, I did pray to God for, you know, he was about to go to college. He said, I did pray to God for this college that I did apply to. I really like how everything goes. And then I said, explain to me. He said, well, in this college, you get to learn this, you get to do this, and nothing about God was in it. And so he said, but then this other college, you know, to do like Bible study, to do all this other thing, but I don't really like it. I said, but that's what you need. God won't always give you, God won't give you your one. He will give you what you need. And so we see Israel here, they are after a want versus what they need, as we will see later on. So the Bible went on into verse 7, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan, the son of all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. Jeremiah, you know, he did listen to them. He went on. He sought the Lord. It took, at least they were patient a little bit. It took 10 days according to the scripture. But now the answer that the Lord, the response that the Lord gave to them through Jeremiah as he sought the Lord on their behalf, later we're going to see what the Lord said to them. And so going further, we see in the verse 10, okay, I'll go back to verse 9. And said to them, thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will stay, if you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disasters that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon. So, when they came seeking the Lord, there was an agenda, there was a goal, there's something, because they are in fear. And like I said, whenever we walk in fear instead of faith, we find ourselves in a crossroad. We find ourselves in the valley of indecision, I call it. We find ourselves in a place of less trust in God, more fear of what will happen in the future. And we see they have asked, you know, go on, please talk to the Lord. And the Lord have given his answer. But as we see later on, something is changing here. They said, when we read previously, they said, whatever, if it is pleasing or displeasing, we will do in the verse 6. But now, Jeremiah is saying, this is what the Lord said. You should remain in Judea, because after, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar left, or took over, he had his own governor placed there, over them in charge, that he can stabilize things. But they didn't like it. And so, it even became worse after Gedaliah was killed. Because they were like, okay, with this happening right now, we don't have the military strength. We don't have anything. Where do we turn? But there's an interesting thing going on here. What I do learn from this is that quite often we only turn to God when things are not okay. And it shouldn't be like that. As Christians, the Lord Jesus said, men ought to pray without ceasing. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I was talking to the youth group yesterday. One of my favorite Bible verse is God's phone number, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call on the Lord and he will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And when you go into sin, Jeremiah, the Bible says that, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have towards you, thought of good and not of evil, but to bring you to an expected end. Jeremiah has been warning Israel over and over and over. And how many times do we hear the word of God being preached to us? And thank God, you know, as the Bible says that the root of money is not evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. I thank God for technology, because when I open my phone, I can read my Bible. When I turn my phone, I'm able to listen to to somebody preaching or teaching. Jesus, in the Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required. And I can tell you the truth. As we've seen with the children of Israel here, we, unlike them, we have been given much. Then Jesus Christ have not come to die in person for them. The complete word of God wasn't given to them at a time. But you and I have it to our disposal. We have it now. So what we do, and the way in which we hold God in our heart, is how we're going to treat him. If I love God so much, and as we see in these verses, I will live as a person in a way that glorifies him, God. Not just looking at what he, God, would do for me. Because in this case, we see Israel, they live in rebellion against God. Judgment came upon them, Judea. And now they're seeking God just for what God can do for them. There is no what can we do for the Lord in this situation. And so as Christians, we have been given, you know, a great, great and a greater, greater blessing than we can ever imagine. Salvation is the most precious gift. Jesus' death on the cross is the most precious gift. On his part, he paid the price. On our part, it's free. We didn't pay anything for it. But to whom much is given, much is required. We have a responsibility, a God to glory, a charge to keep, and a God to glorify. But the attitude of our heart, the state of our heart, will determine who we really are in Christ. Do I just seek after God, after Jesus Christ, because I want from him? Or am I living a life that exemplifies him? Am I living a life that reflects him through the word, that when people see, they don't see me, Abraham, but they see the goodness of Jesus Christ in my life? And so with here, we see that Jeremiah is now telling them, okay, this is what the Lord said. In the verse 11, he said, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. When we do not trust God, fear takes over our lives, and then we worry about what the future holds. I don't know how the future is going to be like. Oh, well, we know according to the Bible, you know, there's greater things, as Paul would say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. What great thing lies for they who wait upon the Lord, trust the Lord. In Isaiah, the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount on wings as eagles, run and not faint, and walk and not be weary. And so we trust. We ought to trust God in every situation, not only when everything is okay. And we should have a heart that seek after God, not just for material gains, not just for what God would do for us. And I tell you the truth, and you already know this, the things of this world are very temporary. But we have a much precious, precious, precious gift that has been given to us. Salvation, eternal life in Christ. And so he said, do not be afraid. And the thing of the life of a believer, whenever I don't walk in Christ, whenever I don't live as a calling to what Jesus Christ, his words say for me as a person, as a believer, I will live in a life of not in faith, not walking in faith. And when I do not walk in faith and trusting in God, I will be in constant fear of what the future holds because I don't know the future. So this is what I tell myself, Abraham, you got no control over the future. You don't know the future, but there is one who sustains and holds the future. It is God who makes the future possible. And I know that as a person, I don't have a guarantee of the next second of my life. In fact, by saying mine, is some sort of arrogance on my part because the life in this body is not mine. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he went on to say in the verse 13, but if you say we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of your God, saying, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, and there we will dwell. Verse 15, then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnants of Judea. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your face to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And so he's telling them here, hey, you've come to me to talk to, you know, seek the Lord on your behalf. And I've done it. And this is what the Lord said. He's giving them what God has said to him. But let's come back to us. We're talking about the children of Israel. But how does it apply to us? How does it apply to me as a Christian? Sometimes, when I don't understand what is going on, and that's why I love faith so much, because faith, you don't have to understand everything before you can have faith in God. I don't have to understand everything. So he's saying, do not fear the king of Babylon, for I will deliver you. God promised he would deliver them. He will save them from his hand. And he said, but if you refuse to stay here, because in their mind it's not convenient to stay here when we know that King Nebuchadnezzar is coming after us. In their mind, the safest place to be is to run to Egypt because there's no war there. There's nothing there, you know, will endanger our lives. And that's the natural state of mankind. Whenever something happens, we are seeking the most safest place to be. But you know the most safe place we can ever be? Amen. Is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we stay obediently in God's will, God said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. One of the verse that I love the most is Isaiah 41:10. I was sharing with the youth group yesterday what the Lord said, you know, to Israel. Fear not. Be not dismayed, for I am the Lord your God. I will guide you. I will protect you. I will uphold you. And I asked him, say, even if God chooses not to, he doesn't go back on his word. His words fulfill that which he sends it to do. And so, me on my part as a believer, what does the Lord require of us? Obedience. Obedience. I cannot say I love my dad, and when my dad tells me, Abraham, you got to chop the wood or you got to do something in the yard, I said, Dad, I love you so much, but I'm not going to do that. And he would say, what sort of love is there? Because love is not just an expression, it's action. Love is a verb. So if I say that I love God, because that which Jesus even make mention of that in Matthew chapter 6, where a man reaches is, there his heart will be. And it comes to the same that if I love God so much, if God be the one who I so claim to love, what do I do then? I live in obedience and total surrender to him. It's not just in words. And I have seen a lot, I think Brother Spencer, they asked me yesterday, what do you see? In Africa, you will find that people go to church, especially with the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers, gospel out there, people always seeking after signs. They want something. I want something. If God doesn't give me this, then I don't think he's working in my life. If I pray and God don't do what exactly I'm expecting him to do, meaning that God is not with me, but no. God's answer would be yes, no, or wait. And so we see God is telling them here, stay within the land of Judea. Even though it doesn't make sense to you, I want you to stay here. And because it didn't make sense to that human mind, they are in fear. And because they don't have enough faith in God, we see later on that they went on doing the very thing that the prophet Jeremiah told them not to do through the word of God to him. They went on doing the same exact thing. And destruction came upon them, as we will see later on. If you go even to chapter 43, you see that. When I don't walk right, when I don't do what God said, God, he's a loving, caring, just, and faithful God. He's loving. But he's also just. He's caring. And as a good, loving, caring father, he doesn't want anything bad, you know, to overtake his children. But he doesn't impose himself on us either. He's given us the free will to choose and to either love him or reject him. So like Joshua, he told the children of Israel when he was the judge over them, choose this day whom you serve. For as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I spoke before I left Italy, the church. I said this. It's either white or black. If the word of God says so, it is what it says. If the Lord say, do this, and you have me with you, and you do otherwise, you should expect that he won't be with you. Because that's disobedient right there. And so, that's why it's important as Christians to know not just our position in Christ, but our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel, they're seeking after the Lord in pretend, in hypocrisy. They're seeking after the Lord in hypocrisy, pretending as though they really want to listen to God. But they weren't looking forward to that. And they said, even if it displeases or pleases us, or in the verse 17, he went on to say here, so shall it be with you, all the men who set their face to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. Verse 18, for thou said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And you shall be an awe and astonishment, a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. If we don't live in obedience to God, we see the judgment of God is coming upon them, have already come upon them. And even amidst that, they didn't still repent. They still wanted to be that way. Verse 19, the Lord said concerning you, all remnants of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, for you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to do the to the Lord your our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declared to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, or anything which he has sent you by me. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go. I've had an opportunity, before I close here, to talk to an Italian family. I told that the father of four of his children, he invited me, and I went to their house to talk to them, to share the gospel. And one of the son, he told me, he said, Gabriel or Abraham, I don't believe in God, and I will reject. I don't believe him. I said, well, do you know that your life, the very life in you, is from God? He said, well, I don't care. He told me that. He said, I don't believe in him. And I don't care whatever somebody tells me. I've read the Bible from cover to cover. When we harden our heart, we see that with Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. And we see the judgment of God. But then you ask the question, but I'm a Christian. Can the judgment of God come upon me? I'm a believer. Well, Israel was God's people. And they are God's people. Not even was, they are God's people. And because God is your father, God is my father, and he's a loving, caring father. And to those who have children here, I don't have kid yet, but you understand, as a parent, you want your child or children to be raised up in a way that they won't destroy themselves in the future. And so you prepare them, you try your best to train them or better as God have deemed necessary of you or recommend or command of you. God is loving and he's caring, and he wants us to live in a way that we don't destroy ourselves. So we see here with the nation of Israel, with Judea, they came to the Lord. But in my key point here before I leave is the matter of the heart. The Bible says our heart is evil, wicked, and desperate and wicked. Only God knows it. How do I come to God? What is my heart? Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that does the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? And that we read in the gospel, he said that you believe on the Son, Jesus Christ, on whom he has sent. And for our heart to be, in Romans chapter 12, the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's chapter 42. And I beseech us by the mercy and the goodness of God, because none of us are perfect without Jesus, only him and through him alone, and that we be not as hypocritical as the people of Judah was. They came to the Lord pretending to want to listen to what he had to say, but they wanted to do it our own way, and the consequence followed. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord. Each time we read through your word, we point to the Jews, and I know they are examples that we can see to know indeed, Lord, that you are a loving Father, but yet you are very just. So help us, Lord, to meditate upon your word, to apply them to our lives, and not just by words of mouth, but that our heart be made new and changed as you will it be, Lord, that we live in total surrender and obedience to your name. In Jesus' holy, precious, and wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.